Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high-banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Racetime Radio. How was that for an opener, Joe?
Great opener.
Ah, there you go.
You gotta be careful, town council's gonna limit your time on there.
Well, don't we have lots to talk about tonight?
No kidding, right?
So glad you could tune in, everybody. Welcome to Racetime Radio. For the next 2 hours, we got a great lineup for you. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, here in the Racetime Radio studio. Man, oh man, what a weekend. What a week it's been, really. We got tons to talk about, Junior.
Yeah, we got hit with snow. It's April.
No kidding.
What the hell month is it? We got about a foot of snow outside the Racetime Radio studios here, but definitely took in some good racing this weekend, followed along. Obviously, there was some good racing over in Nashville with the ARCA series and as well with the CRA Super Late Model series. And IndyCar was back on the racetrack this weekend out in Phoenix, so that was cool. Got a chance to watch some fast laps, and then of course over at Texas this weekend as well with the Xfinity guys and the Cup race today. So, man, a lot of racing this weekend.
Unbelievable!
It was good.
Incredible. Was good. Kyle Busch goes to victory lane. I really kind of thought that four car was going to do it. I don't think that last set of tires was as good as the tires he had on before. 20 to go when they pitted?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, like he had newer tires when he went on that big run towards the end of the race. He had about 25 lap newer tires than Kyle Busch when he was reeling them in.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and then you know the last set kind of evened out with the last pit stop there. But that 18 car, he drove the wheels off that race car, and you could tell he wanted it. But you could also tell there was a big fire in the belly of the 4 car.
Oh, big time!
Man, the pit stops were atrocious today on that 4 car.
Those guys just flat out didn't have any luck. How do you get a lug nut stuck in the jack and you can't let the car all the way down?
Man, it's amazing. You can always find little things to happen. And you know, a while back, I can remember, you know, some lug nuts falling in the wheel and not being able to tighten the wheel up.
Right.
Falling
right
between the caliper, kind of a normal issue, but that has kind of subsided. And now this is the second time I've seen a lug nut fall into that little jack. So I imagine they're going to come up with a neat little carbon fiber shield to stop that from happening.
Isn't it crazy? That's nuts how that happened.
Yeah, you can find little things that happen with these pit stops, and you watch, it'll happen again between now and the end of the year, now that we're cued into it. But you know, you find little tolerance things like that all the time, and you know, a couple of things that, you know, kind of stand out is how the wedge wrenches used to go into the back window.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and the guys were getting them stuck in there.
Yep.
They go for a lap. How can you not get a wedge wrench out? But it seemed like it was an issue for a while. And then as well, you know, looking back on it, tires falling in between the caliper and the wheel. And, you know, they came up with shrouding to stop that from happening. And now you're seeing this new issue where, obviously, the guns, you know, are an issue for everybody, and the fact that there's only one guy less, you know, over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a terrible day on pit road for those guys. I feel for them.
Well, you know what? Good part is Kyle Busch went and he won the race. Good race for him. Sponsor in his backyard there. Goes out, gets the first Gibbs win of the season. The 20 car looked good. It was a good day, all in all, for the Gibbs camp. I know the 11 wrecked, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yep.
He wrecked out.
And
but
the 19 did, too. So it was a half-and-half good day for the Gibbs
camp.
Well,
you get a win, you get a couple of wrecked race cars. I guess they'll take it.
Yes.
They'll take it. But how about the temperature fluctuation this weekend? Friday, the guys are practicing and testing. Temperature 85 degrees in the sunshine. Roll back in on Saturday for Xfinity and for final practice for the Cup guys. And the temperature is 34 degrees.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, definitely. You may as well just leave the car in the box, knowing that today, Sunday, was going to be, you know, up into that 60 degree range. But, you know, they didn't learn a whole lot in testing because simply it was cold, right?
In
practice, on final practice on Saturday, and the Xfinity guys had to kind of put up with it the entire time. It was one of the coldest races in NASCAR history, you know, kind of ranging down in that 33-degree range, you know, for the entire event. So definitely difficult conditions, but, you know, you could tell on cold tires, those cars weren't having any grip. And really the attrition both days, I think it was cooler than you've seen it before in the past at Texas. And really both divisions had a lot of trouble getting grip and sticking to that racetrack, especially on cold tires and you know, after a pit stop. So, treacherous conditions both days, but more so on Saturday.
I'm watching qualifying for the Xfinity cars and watching Alex Labbe. He was ready to go. Mario had that car ready to fly. Alex straight out onto the racetrack. Not many guys were ready to go. There was some tech issues where not a lot of guys got through. Harvick was one of them that actually had to start at the rear of the field in the Xfinity race. That was kind of crazy. There was a lot of guys that didn't get past.
Yeah, definitely. And really, even in today's you know, pre-race technical inspection, Kyle Larson, it took him four times to get through the technical line, and he ended up losing his car chief today. But it's an issue with that new laser system that they have, with the new overhead photography system that they have for all your tolerances, your hot and cold spots, I guess you can call it. It's thrown these guys for a curveball, even more so than what the LIS system did with the laser system last year. So, whenever you have tighter tolerances and you have these fabricated cars, you know, I think that they're cramping down a little bit on the Xfinity guys simply because of that body, that composite body. You can't touch it. You can't move it. So, you know, the first couple weeks, you didn't really see an issue with the Xfinity cars, but this week seemed to be both a big issue pre-qualifying and as well pre-race.
How about a quick word from Elton Sawyer? He is the guy in charge of that machine that's, you know, checking these guys out. Here's what Elton had to say. Claire B. got a hold of him and got a quick word with him. Here's what Elton had to say about those cars not really passing through that inspection as quick as possible.
Well, it wasn't just one thing. It's across the board. It's in the chassis discipline. It's in the wheel alignment. It's in the body scan. So it's not just one thing. We're as disappointed as our fans are on this one that we expect the team to show up with their cars in compliance with the rule book. We gave everybody plenty of opportunity to get through one time and get out there to qualify. So we're working through the situation now to hopefully get the rest of them out there.
So it's not really the machine. It's the guys pushing the envelope.
Yeah, well, and you have to push the envelope. Otherwise, you're slow. And if you don't push the envelope, somebody else is going to. So it doesn't matter if it's a wooden template that you see at your local short track for a Monte Carlo SS body, or if it is a high-tech laser scanning system for the body or for the laser alignment, you have to push every rule to its absolute limit.
Yeah.
And to get down to the limit side of things today, you know, it wasn't just 4 months ago that these guys were rolling through tech at Homestead, and it was a normal deal for these guys to carry a bucket of water and a bucket of hot water, a bucket of water with ice cubes and a bucket of hot water.
Right.
And they would soak the rear end tubes, you know, one on the left side with the hot water and one on the right side with the cold water before the technical inspection. With the temperature change, you would be able to get through the skew.
Really?
And then at the other side, you would get through the skew, and then when it would dry up, it would even out, and then you would gain your little bit of advantage. So, to be honest with you, it's not an unheard of thing. You have to push every rule, and the tighter you can measure, the tighter you have to get with that pushing the rule book. So, you know, when you look at how hard it is to get through tech now, it's virtually impossible. And the guys who squirt right through, they're usually not pushing the book as far. So,
and they're not usually at the front of the field quite as much.
Exactly. You have to take every one of those variables that you can possibly get, and you have to dive into it, and you have to, you know, really take you need to, you know, exploit every rule that you possibly can. And it's not cheating. It's,
no.
It's part of the system. It's not cheating if a guy slashes somebody in hockey. They get a penalty for it, and NASCAR is doing the exact same thing.
Well, speaking of hockey, we want to definitely put our thoughts and prayers out to Saskatchewan, the team out there, the Humboldt Broncos. Terrible news with that team. We love watching junior A hockey. Man, we go to the gold medal game here just this last year, and it's talent like those guys would be that we would have been seeing. Yeah. Definitely a big loss.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tragic loss, and our thoughts and prayers, and I think the entire racing community can really, you know, get behind it. We've seen tragic losses like that in racing, and you know, it comes up. Not to compare it to anything, but, you know, I think the racing community really understands losses like that. Looking at the Hendrick camp, you know, they lost, you know, Rick Hendrick lost a number of family members and employees and parts of the integral parts of the team, in a plane crash and things like that happen in sports. And we just can't say anything other than we're thinking of everybody and thoughts and prayers for sure.
Absolutely. Let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. And then we're going to bust off a quick break and get to our first guest. But coming up first, we're going to check in with a guy that absolutely everyone knows, Alex Tagliani, driver of the number 18 in the NASCAR Pinty Series. Alex is going to drop on by tonight. We're going to catch up with him right off the bat. We'll also hear from a Pro Stock Tour driver. This particular driver, Junior, drives the 07. He is from PEI, and his name is Allison McKinnon. We're going to catch up with Allison here tonight. Big news at the end of last week. We know who's going to drive the number 3 now in the NASCAR Pinty Series. It's not going to be Jason Hathaway. It's going to be Cole Powell. That was the announcement. And we got Cole coming on the show. And to wrap the night up, we're going to catch up with Full Throttle Motor Speedway promoter. We got Gord Bennett coming up. You should see and hear the plans that Gord's got coming in for Full Throttle this year. Talk about an entertainment facility. You don't want to miss Gord Bennett here tonight.
They've been doing a great job over at Full Throttle over the past couple of years by the sounds of it. And I look forward to getting out there once or twice this summer. Obviously, just up the road with my new job, I drive by it, you know, probably about 3 times a week. And it looks great. They got the entrance all done up there at the racetrack. And it'll be cool to catch up with Gord. Haven't talked to him for quite a while. We'll talk about a bunch of racing.
Oh, man. We've got so much to cover off tonight. We'll also hear from Xfinity winner. We'll even hear from Ryan Blaney. So we got lots coming at you. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get fired up here. We're going to get tags on the horn. And we're going to do that right after this break. Stay with us. We will be back in just a couple of moments.
Hey, race fans. This is Jordan McComb, driver of the number 50. Hold on to your lug nuts. Race Time Radio will be back in just a minute.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Hello, I'm Bruce Selry, host of Moolala, Money Made Simple. My mission is to help you get a better handle on your money so you can live the life you want. Not an easy task, what with all the jargon out there and the pressure to cover the bills, save a little, and live a good life. So tune in for a fresh spin on money. We'll talk about saving, spending, investing, organizing, and taking action so you can afford more of what you love. Moolala, Money Made Simple, every weekend on Canada Talks, Channel 167, SiriusXM.
Looking for victory.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR
all year long.
Checker.
Keselowski just fired.
All right, let's go finish this thing.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Yeah! Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to 100,000 from 800,000 or 700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks. Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader on two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Al. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
And just like that, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. What do you say we get right to the hotline and let's bring in our first guest of the night. The wait is almost over. We're going to see the NASCAR Pinty Series on the racetrack in no time at all now. Just a few more weeks and we're going to be able to watch the number 18 fly around that racetrack. He's always a threat to win when he gets behind the wheel. And he's with us tonight on the hotline. We have Alex Tagliani with us. Tags, how you doing? Happy New Year.
How are you, my friend?
Doing real good. How about you, bud?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. You got that 18 car all shined up, ready to go. You got Tyler whipped into shape. Are we all set?
There's lots of things going on. We should unveil something pretty cool on the 27th of April here. So a lot of changes, but it will be a big news.
You know what? You never surprise me, Alex. You've always got something that is just a couple of weeks out. You are one busy guy in this sport. Your feet never stay still, do they?
Oh, well, when I started this venture with 22 Racing and the people at EpiPen, we didn't know that we would be here again for our fifth year, so... It looks very promising. It looks good. We've done a lot of work in the background, and we accomplished a lot with the promotion on food allergy awareness, and using racing was a perfect fit to me, and you know, the fact that I lived with allergies all my career traveling and all that, so I was pretty happy to be part of what they were putting together for me, and like I said, the perfect fit for promoting it. So very proud of what we accomplished so far. But there's some new things coming up, a new partner coming up, so we new colors coming up. So There's some really good promising news and exciting things for us, for the fans, for the team, for the series. So it's not just going to be for a year. So that's what makes it even more exciting.
Tags, always exciting. You've won multiple races in the NASCAR Pinty Series. Do you think maybe you're going to go after a championship one of these years? I know it's got to be tough. When the trucks come into town, I know you try and find your way into a truck, and you usually end up in a Penske ride, or, you know, the Indianapolis 500 comes up, and boom, you're over there, and you're taking the pole for that, and running IndyCar races. And you've been running the NASCAR Pinty Series in there as well and concentrating on it, winning races. But are we ever going to see the day where you're going to say, you know what, I'm sticking a fork in this, I want to win this title?
Yeah, you know what, it's interesting what you're saying, because last year was my first full season. You know, since I joined the team, there was always conflict. For the first few years I ran at Indy, So I was gone in May, and I missed the first opening race. Missed other races when I raced for Penske and in the Xfinity races as well. And last year was my first full season, but I think, you know, 2016, we had a stellar year. I think we finished second in the owner's point. You know, like, nothing to say. Our season was strong, and I missed one race myself as a driver. We finished third in the points. 2017 was not, like, was not stellar year, but we did really good on road course. So I think for 2018, you know, like, the game plan for our crew and our 18 guys is just to mix 2016 and 2017 and put it in into one season. And I think and running, you know, like, concentrating on the championship, concentrating on the series, you know, no distraction, no missing races, you know, like, so hopefully this is the right year, and it's the perfect timing because it's 2018 and it should be for 18 starts.
Well, you're one of the most diversified drivers that we see here in Canada. Man, if it goes fast and it's a premier series, Alex Tagliani has either been there, done that, won it, or came real close to winning it in all of the different series. This year in the NASCAR Pinty Series, it's going to lean a little more towards the oval side of things. You guys have got Jukasa back on the schedule, the big track. You're also going to head south of the border and head off to Loudoun, New Hampshire, and you're going to go on the 1 mile there. That's all stuff that's probably got to be music to your ears.
Yeah, definitely. Jukasa is, you know, hell of a racetrack. You know, we had a lot of fun, and especially our car was really strong there. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm having two races on a track like this during the championship. I don't think there's nothing that we can ask for more. You know, we have every series is suffering from not really good events and having marquee events. I think, you know, us was pretty clear that the road course races, you know, like, are really amazing. But now we have, like, two ovals at Jukasa that are pretty stellar as well, and adding Loudoun. I don't know what's going to do for our Canadian fans to go race there, but you know, on TV should be fun for the drivers and the team. I think it's going to be exciting to put our equipment, you know, and stretch the legs of those cars and go as fast as we can.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. You can guarantee that. Is that like 1 mile oval track? I know you've had a lot of experience south of the border. Have you been on 1 mile racetracks? You got any, I don't know, data that you can fall back on for a 1 mile track?
Well, I raced at Loudoun and in IndyCar. For us, there's nothing really you can bring from open wheel to NASCAR. That track is quite flat. But with the wing that we were running, I mean, we were almost like flat in qualifying, just was a baby lift. So pretty amazing for a car to go around there flat. But our car is not going to happen. And, you know, it's not an easy track. I mean, it has like different surfaces. You cross in on entry and, you cross back on exit. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting that, you know, for the team to get it right, you know, like with very little experience. But that's what's going to make it challenging. And having a long race and having, you know, the competition that we have in our series, you know, like the ones are going to get the setup right away are the ones that are going to walk away with it. But I think it's going to be it's going to make it for, you know, really good good show.
With Alex Tagliani tonight here on Racetime Radio. Alex, we got a lot of new drivers coming into the NASCAR Pinty Series. At least it looks that way from this point. We're going to hear from Cole Powell later in the show. He's going to be in the three car this year. We've heard of a number of teams that are going to be coming out of the woodwork this year. What can you tell those young drivers that are coming in? I know Cole Powell isn't really a good example because he's ran modifieds and he's ran ARCA and done all kinds of cool stuff. But there are some young drivers coming in. that may not have the experience. From a veteran like you, what do you got to tell those kind of guys without telling them?
Well, I think overall, I mean, there's not much, you know, like you can say without knowing how they're going to race and how everything is going to look on track. But I think it's exciting to see new faces into the series. I think it's really great that the three team decided to put a driver in there. So that's good for everybody. You know, our team's going to run three cars, so it's going to be interesting there as well. And I think with the new look of the car, that's something that we were very excited to bring onto the racetrack. I think the fans deserve, you know, like a little bit of a revamp onto our equipment and the look of the car, and I think that's what we have now. So it's a good first step. And I think it's the new face of the series. So, you know, everything is happening at the same time. You're seeing new faces. You're seeing new faces on cars, new facelift on cars, and new driver faces. So, you know, like that's what a series needs overall to continue to progress and to get, you know, bigger and better across Canada. That's what we need. And so I'm glad that I see new names coming in.
Alex, you touched on a really cool point there, and you know, obviously you are a name that's synonymous with all forms of racing here in Canada, and you've built your own brand name where your name is recognizable. But one big thing and kind of a difference between Canadian auto racing and what we see on TV and the NASCAR ranks is sponsorship. You mentioned a really cool thing that we're going to see some new guys, and there's going to be some new faces and some new stickers going on cars as well. But you've always had a lot of success in the boardroom with great sponsors on the sides of your race cars in every different facet of racing. And I really want to kind of hear from you, I guess, what is your secret to getting those sponsors and to keeping them on the side of your race car for the time that you have?
So before I touch the point on the secret, you know, I want to say that something that's very important is when you're struggling to find funding or sponsorship, I think there's a different approach than just looking at continuing to bang your head on the wall to try to find sponsorship. As a series or as a group, we have to put together a lot of little things. It's 100 small little things that are going to make it. There's not one secret. So we need to improve our social media. We need to, you know, improve the driver profile out there. You know, we need to, when there's some rivalries out there, we need to play with it, you know. And we have a time slot, you know, at TSN that we're 1 hour sometimes before the cup races. Any TV producer would kill to be able to have that sort of time slot. We have it, and maybe sometimes it's time to introduce some lifestyle out of our series instead of just racing, because, you know, things are changing, right? You look at the younger generation, you know, it's tough to keep fans. People are growing older, and, you know, like, you need to adapt yourself to, you know, like, the demographic that, you know, are there in front of us. And just by doing the same old all the time, I think, you know, like, we're getting to a plateau. And, you know, maybe the new cars, the new look of the car, you know, playing something out of that, you know, and creating some storyline between the drivers and the teams. Or sometimes we're together a lot for 13 races, but then when we disconnect from the race season, you know, like, we don't stay connected. So I think all of that is quite important, because when you're presenting to a sponsor, you know, a program to invest, they're not only investing onto your side of the car and to see their logo a couple of times on TV. They're investing for a platform, right? And if they see that the series has something interesting to offer, then the marketing companies are going to come up with, you know, the plan to create their platform around racing. See, like, with me and the EpiPen program, it's an allergy awareness program across the country. If I would be a tennis player, you know, the company would have come up with like a program attached to the world of tennis. Because I'm a race car driver, they decided to use the racing platform. But the more the series and everybody around is going to come up with something that is going to be interesting for any sponsor, it's not going to become an issue to go present. It's going to become an issue on how we get them in, because they're going to want to come in. And I think that's what we need to start focusing more and more and more, because we don't have as much competition as we think we have in regards of series. And we're very lucky. But if we would be competing, like in the States, with open-wheel racing and other types of sports car racing and various type of form of racing that also are on TV, I think we would be struggling. The fact that we're the only series in Canada that has that sort of, you know, visibility and network and TV visibility, we're quite lucky right now. But we can't just sit on our butt and think that it's okay. We just need to continue to push and, you know, come up with, like, you know, interesting approach that is maybe more towards 2018. And from that point of view, I think that's what's going to start turning heads in regards of corporation and who gets into our sea. But we have to stop thinking that we're only selling a logo on the race car, and when sometimes we don't have success, we say, well, it's very tough to sell sponsorship. Well, if it is, then what can we do to make it easier? And that's what we should focus on.
Absolutely. And going back to a show that we did probably 2 months ago, we touched on it a little bit with a guy named Dave Connolly. And I mentioned that I wanted to create a top 10 list of marketers in motorsports in Canada. And, you know, you would have been right in there in that top five, just simply from the past experience and the way that you go approach the sponsorship model. Really, you are a trendsetter in Canada, and I wanted to ask that question because a lot of people should key into that answer that you just gave, and they should go back and replay it like five times on our website, because that's what it takes to get sponsorship. And when you look at how you, as a, not just your team, but yourself, how you manage your own sponsorship, I've seen you in action at the racetrack with, you know, dignitaries from your sponsors and you know, guests at the racetrack, and how you conduct yourself at the racetrack. You're a race car driver second, you're a marketer first, and then when you put the helmet on, you become a race car driver first. And that's the key part. And really, hats off to you, Alex, because you do a great job with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm going to continue to push. And hopefully, as a group, I think we're going to make things better. I like the fact that, you know, Brandon Thompson, you know, came, you know, quite a bit. I've heard that there's a sponsorship summit that's getting organized, you know, prior to Mothport that we can attend. And hopefully we're going to, you know, set the plate for making changes. You know, because I really believe that sometimes we underestimate how, you know, small things make a difference. You know, like the way we race, the way the car look, the way we sell our series. And that is how we're going to help whoever wants to come and race with us selling sponsorship. But just creating a sell and a marketing document to pitch in front of a company and showing them how good the car will look and how good the trailer will look when it's all wrapped, I think that comes down in probably fifth place. You know, there's other things that we need to create with our series that is going to interest the needs of the sponsor, and then they're just going to want to be part of it because they're very smart. Companies are quite smart. When they say they want to be somewhere, they're going to create the marketing platform around where they're investing. So it's not up to us to concentrate on only creating sale, but, you know, selling our series in a different approach that we have done maybe over the last, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, the old way is done. Alex, you do a great job in activating everything, and really, when the value is there, they will take notice. That it's going to sell itself pretty well, and you do a great job with it. I know you love getting up close with the fans, too, and that's another attachment to Alex Tagliani Racing, if you will. I know right on Twitter, we got Tone going, I love this guy. Yeah, I guess you got a picture with his daughter. I tell you what, you got Tone out there that is tuned into the program, and he just absolutely loves his Alex Tagliani.
Yeah, it's important. You know, the fans that we have in our series are all great, and really who they are just they're people that are using products that are on race cars, are using you know, stores that are also sponsors on race cars. So they're very important. We're very lucky to have the type of demographic that we have in our series as fans, because they're the people that generate, you know, the interest onto sponsors to come into our series. So and they've been there for us, you know, for so many years. When we go to Mossport, the first race, you know, like there are 35,000-40,000 people. You know, it doesn't sound much when you're counting the number of fans that there is at the Indy 500 or at Daytona 500. But you know, like on a big night, you know, on a hockey game, there's like 16,000 people. So when you're pulling 35,000-40,000 people on a race weekend, that's a ton. And we're quite lucky, but I think we have underestimated some of the small important issues to continue to be engaged with them. You know, social media is very big right now, but we don't have the tools, I think, right now in NASCAR to really do as good of a job as we need to get them engaged. So that's something that we probably will talk with the NASCAR officials and see if we can have some changes in our ruling to improve, you know, some of that.
Well, I know we all look forward to that first race at CTMP. Of course, Victoria Fest weekend is coming up. The NASCAR Pinty Series is going to be front and center for that weekend. And watch for Alex Tagliani. And I know, Alex, we look forward to getting you back on after you've got this big news. I know you've got our interest now. We can't wait to hear what it is, especially in a brand new Camaro. You're going to look pretty sharp out there, I can guarantee it.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job, too. I mean, you know, without you guys, I think we would not have this platform to promote the series and our sponsors. So, you know, thanks to you guys to be such a great supporter, and I'll definitely come back on. I really enjoy, you know, passing on my message and my opinions on your show. So as soon as we get this out, you know, it'll be interesting to chat with you guys again.
Oh, can't wait for it. Final thing I want to ask you about. You got one eye on IndyCar so far. We've got quite a start. How about the Canadian Team Canada with Hinch and his Wickens? How about those guys? They're kicking it.
Man, it's awesome. I think Robbie, you know, could have won two races. So that's pretty stellar. I think they did massive changes over the winter, lots of engineering staff and good people. I know that Todd Mallory is engineering Robbie Wickens, and Todd was my engineer when I was at BHA in 2012. And in my opinion, he's the best engineer in IndyCar. So I think it's amazing, and I would not be surprised if Robbie wins a race this year and if he continues to contend, because he has what it takes, you know, like behind the wheel and also surrounding him there.
Incredible. I know we look forward to getting him on this show one of these nights. But great start for IndyCar. I know it's going to be a wicked start for the NASCAR Pinty Series as well. Alex, thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We all appreciate it, and I know we look forward to that first race. Victoria Fest, look out. Here it comes, right?
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
You bet. That's Alex Tagliani. He's getting revved up for the season, Junior.
New stickers on the side of the car.
Yeah.
How interesting is that?
I think it's going to be more than stickers, too. I think he's got something else
he's
cooking.
He's got a neat plan by the sounds of it, and some new colors he mentioned, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they've put together. Obviously, over the past couple of years, they've been growing, and they're becoming a powerhouse team over there. Obviously, hooked up with 22 Racing, which is a powerhouse team. You know, Alex and those guys run full time last year. You could hear it at the end of the year last year. They really wanted to go out there and get a championship and get a W. I think they're looking for it.
Well, you got your work cut out for you, man. You're going to be over on the 17 team. Watch out, man. You got your work cut out. There's going to be a lot of good teams this year.
I know. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Incredible. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, off to the East Coast we go. We're going to talk to, how about the driver of the 07? We got Allison McKinnon going to drop on by Race Time next. Stay with us. Don't you move a muscle. Junior and I are going to be back in a moment.
Hey, race fans, this is Jason White, driver of the A&W Impala, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
I was dying in that small town, dreamed of heading southbound, so I hitched down I-65.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
We've got the latest in gadgets, the coolest apps, and some weird ones, too. Plus, we'll keep you up to date with the hottest online trends.
With some of the world's top entrepreneurs and tech experts joining us from around the world for a look at innovation and how technology can make our lives easier.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B will keep you socially speaking on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and beyond.
Catch us on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing! The race leader on two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 9.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. Got the need for speed.
They're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Oh, by the way, we are now available on iTunes. Just search iTunes, go to the iTunes store, search Race Time Radio. You got it. You'll be able to pick it off iTunes, get to racetimeradio.com. Replay of the show is also there. And we want to thank welcome the listeners, of course, of SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks, and how about the Performance Motorsport Network.com and Gearhead Country Radio. You got all kinds of ways to get Race Time Radio, but there's only one way that you're going to be able to hear from Allison McKinnon, and that's right now. He's on the hotline, all the way from PEI. What's going on, Allison? How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How, Junior? What's going on tonight now?
Well, we are just digging in, having a good time, brother. How about you?
Yeah, I was just following along the show there. We just finished watching Kyle Busch win the race in Texas today, and we were just listening to the show and listening to Alex and just kind of sitting back tonight.
He drove the wheels off that race car, didn't he? Kyle
Busch?
Yeah,
Harvick was coming, but I don't know. He was pretty hungry for that win.
He was.
You watched it, Allison. Now, you tell me, was that a penalty on that last pit stop for the Ford team? Did that tire go too far out for you, or do you think that was okay?
I don't think it really got that far away from the wall there. They scooped her back up pretty quick.
Well, it started to roll out. Junior went, wow, look at that. That guy, that's too far out, man.
Out on the pit road, when it rolled out, you know, towards the middle of the lane, it's supposed to be within an arm's length of the carrier or whoever's carrying that tire. And I figured that it got a little too far. When you looked at Blaney's original penalty from, I think it was like lap, 80, Blaney got nailed for basically the same thing, but discretionary call, ball or strike, right?
Yeah, exactly. I would say social media will probably blow up this week because of that.
Oh, yeah. NASCAR Radio. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Sorry, Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah. I can hear Mike and Pete will be going crazy tomorrow morning, all the way up to Moody at 3. I can well imagine that's going to be a topic.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Incredible. Our topic tonight with you, Allison, is the 07. How's that car coming along? The parts for truck tour is not too far away, buddy.
Yeah, it's coming up the 19th of May. We get, as Brad Mann told you last week, we keep getting snow. It's snowing here again tonight on the island. So, but we've been in the shop kind of picking up the car, and we changed the transmission there. We went to a racing transmission now. We used to just run a GM 3-speed, and now we got a Jericho transmission, so we're hoping that's going to help. And, you know, we've always been about a 12th to 18th place car, and we're hoping to maybe, you know, do a little better than where we have been finishing.
Well, you know what? Every part and every piece all counts, right? And it all costs a lot of a boatload of money if you want everything that you really want. It's going to cost you a bunch of coin to do it. You guys are doing it right. You're growing each year.
Yeah, that's right. Each time we're on the track, we actually see improvements. Like, I know we're a team that, you know, we go to the track and we'll end up finishing laps down, but the spring race in Riverside, for example, at the end of the race, I think we were 17th, but we were 8 laps down. Well, the fall race in Riverside, we were 15th or 16th, I think we ended up, but we were only 4 laps down at the end of the show, right? So each time we go over the track, you know, the car's getting improving, so.
And that's what it takes. You need to have those gains as a team, as a driver. You need that. And you know what? It you keep that kind of attitude, and you guys keep growing, the results are going to show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're running an older car that I had bought actually from Kent Vincent. It was the car that Kent won the IWK with the first time. So, you know, we don't have new stuff, but we do the best we can with what we got. Our biggest thing this year is I really want to get into that IWK 250.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge race. You got the potential to do it, man. You're going to be out there, and you know what it takes now.
Yeah, we're a very small funded team. So, like, we went over there last year to it, and all the big teams, like, they're buying 8 tires, right? Well, the wife and I, we purchased 2. And there was, in the heat race, we were in the transfer spot in the heat race, and a caution came out late, and I restarted on the outside of Cy Harvey, and I just couldn't get going on the outside. I wanted to be on the bottom with those 2 tires, and we ended up finishing 5th. So we missed it by 1 spot and almost raced our way in on 2 tires, right? So, you know, we're showing potential.
Yeah, it's a tough, tough deal, Junior, to get into that race. You got to have your I's dotted.
Oh, yeah, you got to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And really, the cool part of the story is you were in the transfer spot and you only bought the 2 tires. That is the coolest part of the whole deal right there. You know, being right there and being competitive, it's not only a tip of the cap to you, but it's also a tip of the cap to the competition level of the tour, of the entire tour.
Exactly, yeah. One of the officials came up to me later and they said to me, you know, there's no shame in finishing 5th in that heat race, because he knew that all the cars that were ahead of us there, they were on 4 stickers, right? And we only had 2. So, you know, this year I decided, it was actually my wife, she's probably my biggest supporter. She said, you know, we've been doing this for a few years now part-time. Why don't we make the step and try to run a full-time season? So we're going to run 80% of the tour, so that we're eligible for the bonuses and stuff like that. And then, I mean, if it comes down to it, we might actually get a provisional then this year if we can't race our way into the IWK 250. But the 07, I guarantee you'll have 4 new sneakers on it for the IWK 250 this year.
Yeah, absolutely. That was going to be my next question. Are we going to see you on a full-time basis this year? You answered that. 80%, that's a tough nut to crack in itself. Petty is going to be race number 1 on the schedule this year. What's that track like for you? Have you been to Petty?
The first time I went to Petty, we smashed a bunch of gear. We broke a rear end, and then the next time I went back, we had some problems there with the rack and pinion and the steering. And actually, we actually finished 14th that night. It was probably our best finish at Petty ever. I lost power steering with, I think there was about 70 laps to go, and the tour came over the radio and they told Johnny to tell me to pick up the pace or they're going to park me. And I said, no, there's no way they're going to park me tonight. I'm going to finish this out. So I went the last 70 laps with no power steer, and I was pretty wore out by the time the checkers flew, but we got a 14th out of it. So,
and that's the night you didn't drive the truck and trailer home.
That's right. We let the crew chief do that. So yeah,
that can wear you out in a hurry, especially with the caster and camber and yeah. and all the Ackerman that these things have. They're definitely a handful when there's no power steering, ain't it?
Yeah, you're right. It was kind of funny afterwards. We Dylan Blakehorn, he'd come around, and I mean, Petty's bumpy and it's rough, and you know it's got its own character. And Dylan would come down around me, and when he'd put me down a lap, he'd wave, he'd take his hand off the wheel, and he'd give me a little peace sign out the window thanking me for moving over and giving him room. Here I'm sawing on the wheel with two arms, thinking there's no way I'm going to take this second hand off this wheel, and so that's how good his car was that night.
That's the night you learned how to drink beer out of a straw.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you couldn't lift the can afterwards. Incredible. We're with Allison MacKinnon tonight on Race Time. Drives the 07 in the Parts for Trucks Tour, one of the toughest super late model tours you will find in North America. Allison is in that tour. He's from PEI, and one of these guys is going to be running an 80% schedule this year in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Have you got a favorite track, Allison? Do you got a favorite track that you just can't wait to get to?
I really fell in love with Riverside when we first went there. We went over on the ferry, and we got there, and I was just nerves all day, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And as soon as I get out and I started on the track, it just felt like our home track here at Oyster Bed. And it's a lot faster, of course, but it drives a lot, I find, like Oyster Bed. So I was right at home there, and you know, that first time we were there, I drew the pole, and Sean Turple was behind me, and I went over to Sean and I said, you know, I don't know if I should be starting up there because I didn't want to stack up the field or whatever. And Sean said, you know what, I'm behind you, I'll watch for you, take your spot. He said, you're not going to learn unless you. So I took my spot, and Sean got around me and Terry Duguay, and we slipped into third, and we were going to get a third out of it, I think. And then we had a really good battle with Sarah McKay, and a late caution came out, and again, I just couldn't get going on the restarts. A lot of that, I think, was hopefully this transmission that we took out, and so that's why we're hoping for better results this year.
Yeah, well, that's how you find out, right? You get into situations, and you look for a little bit of gain, and by the sounds of it, you guys are going the right way. How's the sponsorship on the 07 this year? You got her all buttoned up?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much, we got Outriders Cookhouse, Danny McDougall, the local bar and pub here in Charlottetown. They've been with me since, I guess 2009. They came on board my late model that I used to run here at Oyster Bed, and he actually approached me, and so Danny's on board, and then Kenny Snow with the Oyster Bed right stop here, just up the corner from us by the track, he's on board again. Gauthier's Auto Repair, my good friend Tyler Gauthier, he comes down, he helps me with the car, he's just up around the corner, and he's always great help. He's been to Riverside with us and stuff like that. And then we picked up McQuarrie's Meats is a new one this year, and McPherson Roach Smith and Associates, which is an accounting firm, they're both coming on board this year and got to help us out with some tires and stuff like that. So that's going to be a really big help, and we're glad to have them.
Well, you got to love it. What a community, what a race community it is out in PEI with the racetrack right there and so many great race teams. You guys all tend to either work together or what have you until you get the buckets bolted on the heads. Then it's all every man for himself. But other than that, you guys all tend to work together.
Yeah, the island guys, we got, you know, there's about 10 of them here, leave the island here every weekend to go away racing. And they're all a great bunch of guys to help out. I was actually over at Robbie McEwen's the other night, and he was helping me change some springs and set up some shocks and stuff there for my car. And Robbie and I have a really good relationship. He's been, he came to me when he was racing late models here, and he was the new guy on the late models here. And he'd come to me and he said, oh, you know, I wrecked a door last weekend. Do you happen to have one? And I'd give him a door. This is when he first got started kind of thing, before he won any championships or anything. And So Robbie and I, we've got a pretty good relationship. And then of course my cousins there, the other MacKinnons, they run pretty well on the tour as well.
I would say Darren McKinnon, man, what has he got a missile put underneath him? Along with his crew, you guys are, you're in good hands, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's right. They're always willing to help us out, too. And another one, too, is Dylan Gosby. We were scaling the car here one night last year, and we were struggling. I just called Dylan, and he said, I'll be out. And he stopped out and gave us a hand and got us pointed in the right direction, so...
There's only about 60 people that live on the island, right? And 10 of them race.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You
everybody,
would think that.
My Twitter's going to light up.
I got a friend. I got a friend from Ontario. He lives in Newmarket, and the first time he came down here, he thought the island was that small that he could go walk from tip to tip of it. I said, it's not quite that small, but yeah.
That's too funny.
Incredible. A beautiful place, PEI, man. I hope everybody gets an opportunity to take a trip out there, and when you do, you got to stop on by Oyster Bed Speedway. Pro Stock's going to run there on somewhat of a regular basis. Have you got two cars this year? You going to run Oyster Bed on the nights off of the tour?
I don't know if we're going to. I think we're going to take the car up. Maybe they were having an invitational, but I think it's going to end up falling on the same date as the last tour race in Scotia. But we'll have a look at it and see. I have a couple of weddings I have to attend this summer, and we're trying to put the schedule in around that. But we'll see what comes. But they switched over to a Pro Stock division, which is going to be good for the track. And the late models that were there all those years, you know, they were kind of they raced them in Oyster Bed, and that's where you know they weren't really a sportsman, they weren't a Pro Stock, so they were kind of their home breed, right? So now we can all mix and match and interchange, and you know, you can take a Pro Stock pretty much anywhere now and run it. So,
well, real friends would get married on a Friday for you, just so you know.
Yeah,
just so you know, right?
But we'll have to get the Racetime Radio crew down here for a race one of these years. You know, it's PEI is only, what, 3 hours from Halifax, so I think you guys would enjoy the race here and maybe stay for some lobsters afterwards.
Absolutely. We'd be game for that. Don't tell Brad, man. Man, he'll be on his way out there, and so will Jerry and Josh. Look out. Yeah, it'd
yeah,
be a
Brad
lot of fun.
Brad, man, we were over in Halifax actually last year, and John Fleming, we were getting around there, and John came up to me, and he asked me what I thought, and I said, we got to try to find some speed here somewhere. And John said, back up your corner. He said, when I first came here, he said, I tried to drive the thing deep into the corner. He said, you got to back up the corner. He said, actually, Brad Mann told me that. So I got talking to Brad, and the first time I introduced myself to him, and I was telling him what John had told me, and he kind of elaborated on the same thing. And, geez, we went out in the next practice, and I backed up the corner, and we actually went faster. So, you know. Yeah. Appreciate all the advice from these guys, too.
Well, I'll tell you, he is one smart cookie. Love having Brad on the team. He adds a lot to the broadcast. Can't wait for that first broadcast coming up. And I know you guys can't wait for the first race. This has been great tonight, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
We will see you at Scotia Speed World. I can guarantee that, Allison. You have a good one.
Thanks. Stop down and say hi.
You want to believe it. That's Allison McKinnon, driver of the 07 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Great guest, Joe.
Absolutely. Just everybody that we talked to out there, they got their I's dotted and T's crossed in that Pro Stock Tour, and just really cool to catch up with them and looking forward to meeting up with them.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Tell you what, we got to throw it back to SiriusXM, get you up to date on all your news and highlights. It won't only take like 90 seconds, and then we're going to be back with you for hour number two here tonight. Coming up, Cole Powell. How about Gord Bennett? We got lots to talk about in hour two. Sure hope you can stick around. I'm Joe Chisholm. He's Junior. We're going to be back with you in just 90 seconds. Stay right there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus, right up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing!
the race leader off two.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio.
With the two Joes.
Here on Racetime Radio.
On SiriusXM 167.
Where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. That's the way you fire things off. Welcome, everyone, listening on SiriusXM Channel 167. So glad you could tune in here tonight. Coming up, we're going to hear from the driver of the number three. Not Jason Hathaway. Nope. You didn't get the news. If you think it's Jay, it's going to be Cole Powell, and we're going to hear from Cole here in just a few moments. And we're going to talk to Gord Bennett from Full Throttle Motor Speedway, just outside Varney, Ontario.
It's Varney.
Varney?
You got to say it Varney.
Varney or Varney?
It's Varney.
They got a lot happening, and they got, you want to talk about an entertainment center? Gord is working his buns off to make sure that his fans are well entertained. You'll know more about that here in hour number two. But, Junior, I want to touch on something here that was definitely a hot button issue. Right around the beginning of last week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, Sauble Speedway, which I know everyone that knows us knows that we're kind of close to Sauble Speedway.
Yeah.
Near and dear to our heart. The township has passed a bylaw that is going to regulate the days and times that the speedway can operate.
Yeah.
Man, I kind of think that's a huge mistake. How about you?
Yes. No, the town council of the South Bruce Peninsula, the town council, they had been on them a little bit in the past, I guess, with the previous ownership. And, they limited these guys to like a 10 p.m. finish time last season. And they went over that a couple times and they ended up getting fined.
It happens.
A couple times. Yeah, they got fined a couple times. There was, a couple residents that had recently moved in that was close by the racetrack it was one homestead that was actually calling in
and complaining. That we hear of.
Yep. And, there was one person that was complaining about the noise. And sure enough, there was some pushback on that. And they went ahead and they locked the racetrack down on the times that they can operate. And of course, the schedule that they had released earlier, all remains the same. The difference is they have to be done by 11 PM. One big change and kind of the hottest button issue across the entire board is, the practice times. The racetrack, people rent the racetrack and people rent a racetrack to, shake down their cars if they blow an engine or, they get out there and do testing and things like that. And really they're limiting them between the hours of like 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. For testing. And it's only a few days, a handful of days. You can check out the overall breakdown of the new rules on the Wyarton Echo. And you can scroll down, you can see the post about Sauble Speedway and you can take a look at the way that it's laid out. But the thing that really, breaks my soul about it is, while you owned the racetrack, there was a noise bylaw that exempted the racetrack, one of the few racetracks in Canada, if not North America, that was fully exempt from any noise bylaw.
And it's still that way today.
But what they've done is they've went around that noise bylaw and created a
hours of operation.
An hours of operation as opposed to a noise bylaw.
See, and that's where I think the wheels fall off of this particular bylaw. Unless you're going to limit the days and hours of operation for, all the businesses in the town of South Bruce Peninsula, specifically Sauble Beach, unless you're going to limit everybody else, I can't see how they're going to be able to limit the racetrack for a specific time and for specific day. I know you got to be respectable. And I say that from being an owner of that racetrack for 14 years. We never fired an engine on a Sunday until after 12 in the afternoon.
Yep.
I was hard and fast on that rule. There was church. There was all kinds of things happening. We're not firing an engine before noon. But afternoon, come on.
Yep.
You should be able to go to work here.
Yep.
But there were laws and different things that we laid out to be respectful of the neighbors, to be respectful of the community, and always involve the community. Sauble Speedway today does those same things. They have the same criteria. They have the same drive. They have the same everything,
yeah.
If not even better than what we had.
Yeah.
They are very community-minded and very community-driven and oriented. I don't want to sound like I'm taking a shot at the mayor of the town of South Bruce Peninsula. Janice Jackson, she used to race. She raced a car. She was on the racetrack. She did a good job in doing what she's doing, and she does a great job as a mayor. Where I kind of think it falls apart is when it comes time for those elected officials that are under the mayor that actually put stuff out and start voting on it. I want to say that, you know, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. And in this case, too little too late now that it's already passed. I don't know what it would take to overturn that baby, but I can tell you if everyone in this area, and I mean the Sauble Beach area, that is connected to racing.
I don't even think it has to be Sauble Beach. It doesn't have to be Sauble Beach. It has to be people who race there.
Well, yeah.
You know, anybody who races there. I don't care if you are from Peterborough Speedway and you come up and race once a year. It affects you as well.
Sure it does.
You know, it affects, it's obviously, you know, you're not a voting member of the South Bruce Peninsula, but you're the dollars that are coming into that.
Do you know what the economic impact is of that racetrack?
Of any racetrack, really.
Any of them.
Yes.
Yes. When you got a touring division coming in, back when we had the Can-Am Midgets come in.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking the Can-Am Midgets back in my day used to run between 35 and 40 cars.
Yep.
And I would have them in for a double weekend. They'd be there Friday night or Saturday night, Sunday night.
Yep.
I took the 40 cars, five crew members.
Yep.
And you got to figure in hotel or camping, food, fuel, all those different aspects of it. And just with the six dates for Can-Am Midgets, the economic impact for the area was over $1 million.
Yeah.
Not to the racetrack. What the racetrack brought in after you paid for everything.
Yeah, it was peanuts and you got
a dollar. Yeah, well, we were lucky if we capitalized 80 cents to a dollar per head after the fact.
Yeah.
But the actual area got $1 million input in dollar generation.
Yeah.
That was using one series
touring division
for six dates.
Yeah.
Like that is, like it wasn't scientific.
Yeah.
Wasn't a, you know, a study that I commissioned someone to do.
Yeah.
It was one that I sat down and figured out, and I did it based on how much would they spend? How much would each person spend? And I think I used $150 as the number. I can't remember exactly the number I used.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm telling you, it was $1 million input into the area.
When you look at a NASCAR Cup Series race, and this is a number that, that has a lot of different, you know, very high power market research studies behind, you know, when you look at a NASCAR Cup Series race, you know, based on the numbers that are provided by not only NASCAR's, you know, acceleration network and media network, but also from Navigate and from all these different sources like Nielsen and those types of research companies, you're looking at about a $250 million influx per event, per racetrack or
isn't
per
that
race. Now, that's a 200, call it a $200 million influx, you know, just for safe. And that's based on your 100,000 people that go to a NASCAR race, right? Well, extrapolate that down to, you know, your 5,000. And when you divide it out, it's well over a $3 million touch every single weekend.
Yeah.
Multiply that out by, you know, your 20 races throughout the course of the year, and you're bringing in a lot of money, a lot of revenue into the area.
Yeah.
And
well, you think your taxes are high now in the town of South Bruce Peninsula? Take that racetrack out, because that racetrack is contributing. I would take a wild guess here and say their contribution, municipal tax wise, is between $25,000 and $35,000 for the year.
Yeah,
that is what they're putting in.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, think about how much you're spending for your house, your trailer, whatever you got at Sauble Beach.
Yeah.
And if you think your taxes are high now, get someone that's contributing like that place is. Pull that out of the mix and see what your taxes are.
Yeah.
It's goofy.
Yeah,
it is goofy. And where I think the bylaw is dead nuts wrong is where it limits the business, the time and the day.
Yeah.
I think that is 100% wrong. They can't do that. If they're going to work off the bylaw end of things, the noise bylaw, okay, you got some sort of point there.
Yeah.
But when you look at the bylaw and the speedway is exempt
yeah.
from the bylaw, as long as you're doing community-minded stuff and you're not running until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning like I used to.
Yep.
But the only time we did that is when we either had A, weather trouble,
yeah.
or B, red flags and someone got hurt.
Yeah. Well, look
it
at that.
It takes time.
You touched on a huge topic right there. Is if you on the weather trouble portion,
mm-hmm.
if these guys get rain, they drop the green flag for the first round of heats, and they get through the first round of heats, and now you're at 8 o'clock, and it rains?
Yeah.
Well, and it's just a short shower.
Yeah.
It's just a brief shower, passing shower. They may as well just pack it up and shut it down, because it's going to take you an hour to dry the facility.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're never going to get to that feature.
Exactly.
Not
so now
the
racetrack
limit.
Now the racetrack has to either refund the money because you're going to piss off a lot of people.
Well, you can't do that.
Or you're going to have to push it to the next day or however you may do it. Or you have to wash the event.
Yeah.
And either way, the racetrack loses.
Yeah.
And it loses huge. It's not just losing a couple thousand bucks here. You're talking 25, 30 grand. For a rainout, for a washout. So, you know, it's definitely a thorn in my side. It is, I feel it detrimental to not only Sauble Speedway, but the biggest thing for me is that it's detrimental to the industry.
Yep, it is.
As
sets a precedent.
This is now a step in the wrong direction, and for every step in the wrong direction comes multiple steps, right or wrong.
Right.
And if... You know, this might hinder other racetracks in Ontario. It might hinder other racetracks across Canada. And it starts the ball rolling with your precedents. And you know, you set an example here. Well, the next one might go a little further somewhere down the line, which is then going to come back and hurt this one again. So, really, when you look at it, the racetrack wasn't doing anything wrong.
Nope.
And overall, from all the evidence that I've seen and heard of, and this has nothing to do with the racetrack. We were not asked to talk about this
at all. Not in the least.
And that's why we're not bringing on a guest and talking about this.
Nope.
We would love to hear your opinion on it.
Yep.
Tweet us. Talk to us. Get your opinions heard. But the biggest thing that I can say is, you know, four or five people or six people got this thing in motion. I imagine the 5,000 people out there that have vested interest in this would be a lot more or a lot better served if all of us complained to them as well.
Yeah, and not even complained, but made your voice heard is the critical thing there.
100%.
It would be very interesting to know, like back in my day, and this is the final thing I'm going to say about this, and then we're going to get Cole Powell on here and get back to tonight's program. Back in my day, we did have a complaint. It was, I believe, a year or two when I owned the Speedway. We had a complaint. It was from a neighbor that was close by, and the township called me and said, hey, we got a registered complaint against noise for the Speedway. I said, okay, I need to know more about it. What was the noise? What was the problem? And who was it? Well, we can't tell you who it was. I said, okay, so I'll have to dig through and find out who it was, and I'd like to have a meeting with that person, whoever it is, not to be an idiot. I want to try and solve the problem. As it turns out, to cut the story short, the guy had cut trees down that were all along the side of his house. That would have been a noise buffer. He built a covered porch on the front of his house.
Which acted like an amplifier.
Which acted just like a magnifier. And you wonder why your noise level went way up. What was driving him crazy wasn't actually the sound of the cars. It was the sound of the PA.
Yeah.
So what we did was we turned all the speakers and we deflected them away from that guy's house. And you know what? The problem went away. There was never another complaint.
Yep.
Now, I'm saying that, but if there's a complaint, then, man, why isn't there a meeting to work stuff out, or at least give the opportunity to work stuff out without hiring whatever, yeah, and the township going ahead and changing the world and changing the laws? And I think they did the wrong thing. I don't know how they can dictate the days of operation and the hours of those days.
Yeah.
Not without doing it to everybody else. I'm sorry, but that is, it's got to be flat wrong. If that was me in Paul's seat right now, I would have to say, I'm going to go to the township and ask them to revisit it. That would be the first step. And I want to try and work with whoever it is that's doing the noise complaint. Yep. B, if none of that is successful and you've tried to do your due diligence, then I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to get a lawyer and lawyer up to try and fight this, because I don't know of anybody else that the day and the hours of a business are regulated through a municipal government.
Yeah.
Not a federal. A federal government can do it.
Yep.
But I'm sorry, a municipal government, I can't see how they can do it.
Yeah.
It should be wrong. Susie, let's grab Cole Powell.
Let's talk.
Let's talk NASCAR pennies.
I know. I
get fired up when I talk about this.
I know. It's definitely a tough situation. Overall, if it doesn't affect the racing and this brings a peaceful resolution, then whatever. You know, and it's no skin. The biggest thing is that, you know, I just hope that it doesn't turn into, you know, a cat eat mouse situation where it becomes difficult to for racetracks to operate across Canada, really.
Yeah.
And that's where the trouble comes in. And in my eyes, is any shot at the industry in general is definitely a shot worth covering on our side.
Yeah, it sure is. Let's get back to tonight's discussion. We're going to talk NASCAR pindies now with our next guest. Some huge news just came out at the end of last week. Driver of the number 3, I know Kent, out on the east coast of Canada, said, hey, you got to get Jason Hathaway on here, and we got to start talking to Jay about what his plans are for 2018. So I reached out to Jason, and lo and behold, some huge news. Jay isn't going to be in the car this year. They've got a brand new driver going to go in, and his name is Cole Powell. We all know who Cole is, and he's with us now on the hotline. Cole, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Man, fantastic. I got to tell you, brother, I was some excited when I heard you were going to be behind the wheel of that Team 3 Red number 3 car. That is a bullet car. You're a great driver. What a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you. Very, very excited to get back behind the wheel of a race car here. And it's been forever, really, since I've had a full year of racing. I think the last time I got to race a full year was 2013 in the Modifieds with our own stuff. And signing the deal with EHR to be fully committed with their team, providing I can secure marketing partners to finish up the full year and get the sponsorship to be able to go to every track. Providing I can get that put together and whatnot, we will be 100% at every race, and I'm so excited to be a part of the Team 3.
Cole, this is fantastic news. To give some listeners that may not know who Cole Powell is a little bit of the backstory here, Cole, you've got a lot of racing experience, all the way from starting out at Grand Bend in a truck, all the way up to and including Daytona International Speedway in an ARCA car, and all the modified driving. Give us a highlight of what you've been doing since the time you stepped into a race car for the first time.
Yeah, you know, we started long, long, long time ago. I think it was 2005-ish as when Dad brought home that the little 13-horsepower go-kart for Grand Bend Speedway, and I've really just kind of never looked back since. Upgraded to a truck when Dad was racing at Delaware and got to have some fun chasing him around the track for a couple years there. Then jumped up into pro late models and super late models and traveled across America in the Jegs All-Star Series and down at Florida, the World Series for their 9 nights of racing. And then while we were actually in Florida, we'd always run to the fence when we heard the modifieds fire up and thought they were super, super cool and would be really fun to drive. And
next thing you know, we had three modifieds, and we were going for Rookie of the Year in 2013, and which was awesome that we completed that goal of getting that and being the first Canadian to receive that. Was a big deal in my racing career, and that kind of led into a few ARCA races at Daytona and Talladega and Michigan, and now here I am in 2018, going to race in Canada in the NASCAR Pinty Series. So just super excited to get back behind the wheel. It's been a few years, like I said, since I've got to race a full circuit, and just can't wait to get going.
You know, we see guys like P.D. Shepherd that were a staple in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, the same as the NASCAR Pinty Series today is. P.D. was out there, had a team running real good, and all of a sudden P.D. stopped. He stopped racing, and he was out for a couple of years. And then P.D. got back in last year, and he's going to be back in full time in 2018. I got to say, you know, he stepped out. And I kind of thought Petey'd show some rust on him, you know, when he would step back in, but not a prayer. P.D. Shepherd got back in just like he never left and went out there. Cole, I got a sneaky suspicion with the ride you're going to get into, that's going to be the same tale with you. If anything, you're going to come out with guns a-blazing.
Yeah, I really hope so. I mean, I don't think it'll be lack of equipment for sure. I've been heading down to their shop for the last couple of weeks here, helping meeting the guys and helping with the car a little bit, and it definitely is top-notch equipment. I mean, Hathaway himself has got a pretty good resume in all the years that he's been running these cars, and their main thing is they're preparing it as if Jason was going to be driving it this year, so it's really, really good equipment, and I think that's going to be a big marker of me getting back in the car and making it a lot easier to knock the rust off. We're going to do a couple tests before we get to see TMP, and just to get accustomed with these big heavy cars, because I am used to the modified and the late models, and I have a feeling these are going to drive a little different than those. So definitely a confidence booster going in with good equipment for sure.
Cole, talk to us a little bit about the road course aspect. You touched on it right out of the gate. You're going to roll on to CTMP for the first time. I don't know you as a road course racer at all, and that's the first one out of the gate here. You excited about that?
Yeah, very excited about it. A little nervous about it, but I think after the first couple tests here, I should be able to get a good grasp on how to turn right. It's something I've always wanted to try. I've just never really got the opportunity to road course race, and now I've got the perfect opportunity to do it. Mossport, it's not a very technical road course from what I hear. It's just more of a high-speed deal, so I'm actually glad that it is CTMP, and we're not going to Toronto or Montreal first, where it's a very technical type of road course. So I think this is kind of stepping... It's better for me, from what I think, anyway. So.
Dipping your toes in the water a little bit easier,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Cole, obviously looking at your resume and looking, you know, across the border and getting into the ARCA equipment and stuff like that, you got to be excited about your chances when you roll into Loudon down on the big 1 mile. That's got to be one that you got circled on there, because I believe you raced there in a modified, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been there a few times in a modified, and I'm actually really excited that the Pinty Series is heading there, because I don't think very many drivers have actually got to race on that surface, and it is quite a tricky track. These cars are going to drive a lot different than the modified, but being there a few times before this race season, I think, is definitely not going to hurt me at all. I do know my way around there half decent, and... same with Yukasa. Running that in the late model last year, I think, has helped me to get to the track in the Pinty Series this year as well. So looking forward to those two races for sure.
Did you ever get any laps in a Canadian Tire car or Pinty's car back when you were at Delaware Speedway? You'd have your late model sitting there. You had your modified sitting up top. Did you ever get into, I don't know, Sheridan's car or anybody's NASCAR Pinty's car just to take a rip?
No, the first time I've ever sat... in a Pinty's car was probably 2 weeks ago. I've never fired one up yet, never done anything in a Pinty's car other than sit in one 2 weeks ago getting my seats in.
Does it feel like an ARCA car when you get into it?
Yeah, it does. It does feel like an ARCA car, just a little tiny bit smaller. The ARCA car's got a little more room, I believe. Other than that, it's pretty familiar, I think.
Man, I my mind, every time I say the word Cole Powell, my mind goes right back to Daytona. You and I standing on the infield, and you came so close to having a really, really good finish there.
Yeah, kind of. Daytona and me haven't really got along since I haven't really got a great finish at Daytona there. The last time I got to run there, I think we got taken out at lap six or something through the infield and quite the big crash there. I'd like to get another kick at the can at Daytona because I think it owes me one. But Talladega was a good run for us, finishing third back in, I think it was 2014. That was probably one of the bigger highlights of my racing career, getting a top three finish there in an ARCA car.
Yeah, amazing. You're a talented individual. This is tremendous. Great news to hear not only that you're going to be back behind the wheel, but behind the wheel of that number three for Ed Hackinson Racing. This is going to be off the charts. I really like your chances.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. And like I said earlier, the equipment is definitely a top-notch deal. And I'm just really excited here if I can secure more marketing partners throughout the whole year to be able to get to these 13 races. I mean, it's a huge deal that Hathaway and Ed are even letting me get behind the wheel of their team here, and I really appreciate them and my parents for putting this together with us and them. And it's going to be a really, really fun year. I'm really excited about this. I haven't been this excited for racing in a while now. I just can't wait to get to the track. And it's a different deal this year, where when I had the ARCA races, it was just kind of one-off races, and I'd get to go to Daytona, but I didn't know if I got to go to the next race or anything like that. So I would put a lot of pressure on myself to try to really do well with one shot. This deal, I have 13 races to try to put together a really solid finish this year and run for a championship and run for Rookie of the Year. And I actually am not putting as much pressure on myself as I would if I only got one race and I had to do really well in that race. I have 13 races here this year, and I think that we're going to be able to do something really special here with EHR and the three team.
Now, obviously, that Powell shop over there, these are two totally different shops. You're going to Hackinson Racing, but Powell still has a little race shop over there closer to Delaware Speedway. What do you still got in the shop over there? Are we going to see you roll out in any APC races or any races like that in 2018, Cole?
We still have two late models that I think would be pretty capable of going to either Jakarta or maybe Delaware. I'm not too sure. I do have that Jakarta 25,000 to win on the calendar. If we can get something working out to go do that, I think it would be, that's going to be an absolutely huge race. And teaming up with EHR, Jason ran pretty well there last year.
Ran pretty well. Listen to him. Pretty
so
well.
Maybe we can work together on something like that. But other than that race, I think I'm just really going to focus on the Penske series and try to do something really special in 2018 with them.
Let me tell you something here. And I think back to this time, I believe it was last year at this time, with Austin Terrio. You know, Austin drove that 52 in ARCA, as everybody knows. He went out and won the championship. At the beginning of the year, he was sitting in the similar spot that you're sort of sitting in right now. He hadn't run a full-time tour in quite a few years. It was a national tour, someone like you're going to go do. And he was looking at it as, you know, I'm driven. I want to get out there. I want to do it. And I want to do good in it. And for once, I'm going to be able to focus in on trying to go after a championship. I draw those similarities, Cole, because I can see them. I can see you are the same kind of guy as an Austin Terrio, and you're going to get into quality equipment. I love the opportunity that's there, and I know as race fans, we're all going to win by seeing this one come true. This is going to be cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's going to be a really fun, exciting year, I think, and I'm also really excited to travel Canada. I've I think we were counting up the states that I've been to and raced in America, and it's somewhere around 40 states that I've been to. But I've never left Canada outside of Ontario. So I'm really excited to get to Edmonton and explore our beautiful country as well and meet new people and race against new competitors in this series. I've only run really against DJ and Pete and some late models. Other than that, I don't know anybody. So it's going to be a new year, new exciting things, and just I keep saying I'm really excited, but I don't know what else to say.
It's because you are.
I really am.
It's because you are.
Well, I've seen Cole Powell race on quite a few different racetracks in late models and things like that, and watching you at New Smyrna and how you attack the corners and how aggressive you are as a driver at Delaware Speedway and everywhere you go, that's what's exciting about watching you race. And when you get to Riverside Speedway, you're going to roll out on there the first time, and I don't think they're going to be able to get you off to get tire temps. I think you're just going to stay out there and practice and just burn the set of tires off and smile through that big helmet of yours.
That's what Jason said, actually, pretty close to what you just said. He said that's one of the better tracks that we get to go to, and I think it's more in my style of racing, for sure. With these cars, I know that it's going to be an endurance deal where it is a big, heavy car, and the brakes aren't as well as what I'm used to, and the tires with the fall off. So I think it's just a big endurance race of keeping your fenders on, keep your wheels rolling, and saving your stuff, really. So definitely want to be aggressive when you have to be, but saving your stuff, I think, is pretty well the key to winning races in the Pinty Series.
Yeah, and listen, when you're out at Riverside, you hook up with the right teams out there, you'll explore and be introduced to what's called a hoist shot. So you can find out what that is all about. I can well imagine Jason has been introduced to a hoist shot, but you'll find out what it is. You'll see.
Okay, well, I'll have to write that down and make sure I do that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like going to Newfoundland and getting initiated.
Getting screeched in.
Just like getting screeched in. It's the Nova Scotia way of doing it.
Den 4.
You will see. Cole, thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. I know we look forward to getting you back on as the progress all starts coming along. Everything's so new. Still lots of work to be done. But, man, oh, man, have you got a bright future. And I know look forward to watching the three.
Yeah, looking forward to getting back on the show. Thanks a lot for having me on tonight. And stay tuned because we do have a lot of big announcements coming up here. I wish I could tell you more, but then you guys wouldn't have a reason to get me back on the show. So keep in tune, and we'll stay in touch, and thank you very much for having me tonight.
Absolutely.
Well, you can leak it to us.
No, he can't. He right, can't. Fine. I'll tell you what, Jamie, shoot him. She's going to make you look right. Just so you know, Jamie is dynamite. She's going to make you look good. Yeah. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, just meeting her for the first time a couple weeks ago, and she's got the ball rolling. And everything's coming in line now, and she's doing a great job with hooking me up with all the right things and getting me on this talk show tonight, and really excited to working with her and Jason and the rest of the team with Ed and just getting to the track and getting this going.
Yeah, well, keep it between the lines. She'll tell you when you go outside, it guaranteed.
Yeah, 10-4.
Incredible. Cole, have a good one, buddy.
Awesome. You too. Take care.
You bet. That's Cole Powell. Good news, Junior. We're going to see that guy in a car. That's cool.
Yeah, a couple of Delaware boys hooking up too, right? Like when you look at the history with Jason Hathaway and you know where he came from, what he did, got very similar paths to Cole Powell, just like from the Delaware aspect. And then they kind of branched out and went in two completely different directions. But now meeting back up in the Pinty Series, I honestly think it's a match made in heaven. When you look at Cole Powell as a driver and you look at Hathaway, I think that they have a lot of similarities. And really how Hathaway drives is very methodical but very aggressive at the same time, and it's the same coming out of Cole Powell as well. I don't think you're going to have to change anything about how to set up those race cars because I think they fit very similar. So when you look at the success that three car had, you know, obviously depending on how things have changed over the past year or so, but when you look at how Hathaway really you know, goes after each race. I think Powell is going to be able to fit right into that mold and really be, you know, an addition to the team that is very positive. And looking forward to seeing what they can put together.
Well, this does, it answers part of the question, and we now know what the three is going to do. But I could already hear Kent on that East Coast. I still want to know what the hell Jason Hathaway is going to do. And don't worry, Kent, we are going to find out. I'm going to reach out to Jason Hathaway next week, and we'll see if we can talk and get on here and tell us what he is going to be up to. We already know what his car is going to be doing.
I just know that every late model driver in Ontario and really in Canada is hoping that Jason Hathaway goes on vacation for that 25K to win race at Jukasa.
Yeah.
They're hoping he's not going to be there. They're
hoping he's sitting on a beach. Weekend.
Yeah, sitting on a beach, drinking a Mai Tai,
yeah,
taking the weekend off, just relaxing, because he waxed them so hard at Jukasa last year. That's a dangerous deal if he's going to be focusing on some late model racing.
Well, we'll have to find out, and we will as time passes here on Race Time. We're going to hit another quick break. We will be back on the other side. Full Throttle Motor Speedway. We got the promoter of that racetrack coming up next.
Hey, race fans, this is Derek White, number 99, NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, the OCR Gasbar Chevrolet. You're listening to RTR, Racetime Radio, on Sirius Hardcore Sports Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM. Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Looking for victory.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR.
All year long.
Checker, 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 checker.
Keselowski just fired.
Got it.
All right, let's go finish this thing.
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Ah! Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the Sirius XM app.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Get out of here.
Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Got an opinion? Give us a call.
Toll free at 1-888-572-2384.
That's 888-5-RACETIME.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
It's going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, tonight on Racetime Radio. Hello to everyone listening in on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we, and bring in our next guest. Full Throttle Motor Speedway is the place. I'll tell you, if you're coming up Highway 6, coming out of Guelph, you want to stay right on Highway 6, and you're going to come to Varney, Ontario, and that's where you will find Full Throttle Motor Speedway. Not a far drive whatsoever. You want to make it out to this racetrack and see a night of racing. The promoter, Gord Bennett, joins us right now on the hotline. He's got a whole pile of stuff to talk about. Talk about an entertainment facility, Gord. You're going to have one on your hands this year. Man, oh man, have you got plans.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi. And how are you, neighbors? Because you're not too far away from the Speedway.
No.
We have quite the summer lined up here. We're adding in some an 18-hole mini golf, a bunch of different amusement stuff for the Speedway. We're doing a bunch of upgrades to the Speedway. So, yeah, we have a lot on the go.
I would say, Gord, incredible. Not only a great weekly race program do you provide, but sounds like you're getting into the whole entertainment industry now with adding in all you're adding in. This is pretty cool news.
Yeah, well, actually it started last year. We had a bouncy castles that came in on race nights. I looked at McDonald's and stuff, and they had Playlands, and I was like, how do we get, you know, make sure the kids draw the parents to the Speedway? And we brought in some bouncy castles, and it kind of worked pretty good, and I've had in the back of my head to do more to here, so adding go-karts and adding driving range and a bunch of different stuff is not going to hurt. And it also doesn't help our revenue stream from trying to do racing through the summer, which is, you know, 20-25 days, depends on weather, to adding a bunch more dates and trying to bring people to our Speedway. It's been here since 1970, so lots of people, like you said, have driven by on Highway 6, so we're not building something that people don't know where it is.
Exactly, and you guys do a dynamite job of it. When are you firing up for practice and then on into racing?
Well, we actually, I brought the season a little bit earlier, you know, taking a chance like everybody else. So April 28th and 29th is our practice days, and we're going to fire up on May 5th. It's our season opener, the Spring Sizzler, and we're kind of making it a special right at the start of the season for our home track and kind of a little bit of an invitational. The other thing that we did this year is we made all Sundays rain dates for all of our Saturday night racing. So 1 o'clock on Sunday will be our rain date if we have issues or we have to deal with, or even if we get part of the program in. We have a lot of people camp here anymore, and, you know, we give a second opportunity to put a show on.
Great idea, I might add, too. Having that rain day already scheduled, the time's already picked out, really takes the guesswork out of what happens if you get some rain on a Saturday night. Yeah, now know when that rain date is going to be made up, and it's the next day.
Absolutely, and it kind of possibly draws turns it into almost an invitational. Years ago, this racetrack raced on Sundays and had pretty good success, but we started out on Fridays 4 years ago, switched to Saturday for 2 years, and we tripled our crowd, and it's growing and growing every week and every season, so we've been very happy with it. We did some rain dates in the past, but it wasn't on a schedule, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, you can die real quick doing that.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm possibly a little bit of a risk taker. I think people are got a little bit of an idea of, we're going on to year 5 of ownership already, and that's kind of amazing in itself. Some people thought I might not even last a year, but, we've built a house here, and we're not really going anywhere.
Yeah, look who's still standing, right? Good for you.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, going on to year 5, we bought a closed racetrack pretty much. Brought it into kind of a little bit of contendership. You know, Varney always had it was kind of on the lower end of things. Now we're, you know, people know what Full Throttle Motor Speedway at Barney. We brought that the name back in so people understand. You know, we didn't want to get rid of that, but we had to close the door for a couple of years to say, hey, we're something new, and we had to learn our community. That was the biggest thing up here. What works at another place maybe doesn't work here.
Yeah, exactly, and you got to know your surroundings. You're getting real good at it, Gord. You've got regular divisions. Touch on what you're going to have on a regular Saturday night, because I know you got a bunch of specials, too.
Yeah, we actually we started bringing back the modified class. They started out the All-Pro Modifieds years ago. That's actually where the Provincial Modifieds kind of got their seeds. They planted them here, had them for a bunch of years. When I took over the Speedway, we struggled a little bit with some other, you know, everybody was kind of touring and stuff. I had a lot of people that decided that they're local to here. Maybe one race a year wasn't kind of cutting it for them. And so we gave a home for the modifieds in a non-competitive way to a lot of other stuff. And we always have our crazy trains. That's brings lots of people. It's very entertaining. It actually helps our other racing because there's three cars chained together if people aren't aware, and we go and they race them. So it gives an opportunity for people to maybe see some kind of crazy stuff and save the late models and some of the other classes for some really great two-wide, three-wide racing. We've added a kid stock class. Are you aware of what the kid stock is?
No, I haven't got a clue. Elaborate.
Okay. Well, what we did is there used to be a junior late model class, and you were obviously probably brought that into the area.
I did, right into Canada, actually.
I was the first one to drive one.
So what we did is we have four-cylinder automatics. You're allowed three or four different kinds of cars. So you're allowed a Sunfire, a Neon, or an Escort. They're automatics,
mm-hmm.
Kids age 9 to 14. And we teach them. It's actually a pre-show. So if races start at 6, 5:30, we'll put the kid stock out there, and like a pre-show. And we're teaching kids how to race against each other before they go into a class with adults.
Very cool. Good idea.
So, yeah, and they understand a full-size car. They understand throttle and brake. And on Friday nights, I bring them out and I teach these kids. I spend a lot of time. And it's not just turning the steering wheels. It's actually learning how to speak on a microphone and a bunch of stuff. There's a lot to it. But we still make it fun.
Yeah, so, awesome.
Yeah, we got our late models. We got the mini stocks, mini trucks, pure trucks. Street stocks. Yeah, we have a lot of classes, and I've rotated them this year. I give them 1 week off a month. We tried different ways over 4 years of, you know, trying to race them all season and then dropping some dates. We tried to bi-weekly, and then it would rain for a month, so you wouldn't race for the whole month. So we decided to say, here's 1 week a month. If you need to rebuild or you need to do resources or go to a wedding, then, you know, hopefully it schedules around that time.
Gord, one of the things that you touched on was your late model division, you mentioned that you were a risk taker before, and you were basically the first one in Ontario to create a late model division, a weekly late model division, where you didn't have to be an ABC body, and you could make your own panels and you could do your own things. How is that division growing, and how do you see it working out?
Well, I see a lot of my ideas scrambling around the country, even down south. I think the $5,000 fiberglass body on a little quarter-mile short track isn't really cutting it anymore. I think because you can't tell the difference sitting in the grandstands from a street stock to a Thundercar to a late model. They're all similar. And I think you need to actually visibly have a different look. So we kind of went with that. Some of the guys don't because they feel they can go race at other speedways, which is fine. But, you know, if you need to put on a cheaper wedge body or you buy a car that's already got it on it, you know, we have so many different rules for the late model packages, but in the end of the day, as long as they're all racing together, it doesn't really matter.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
How is the car count looking for that division as you go, Gordon?
We actually have 19 cars, late models, registered this season, which is decent. We have a lot of new guys, or guys who haven't raced in maybe 10 years. They go and they're buying these cars in Michigan and some stuff. So we seem to have a lot of new blood at our Speedway. Guys come and they watch the races and they get excited. And it's like, hey, that seems to be a little more the way I want to go. I don't need to go spend gazillion dollars because there's no advantage to a car. Like, we have 20-year-old cars winning features here.
Yeah.
You need that. It's a little different of an idea. I stuck to my guns, and I think it's paying off because now my rules package kind of follows a lot of the cars from other tracks fit in. So maybe ours don't fit the other way, but I'm always conscious of our economical stance of where we are as a speedway. You know, keep it respectable where a guy can buy used stuff and come and race and be just closely as competitive as somebody goes and spends $60,000.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You've got the advantage, Gord, that you were a racer. You understand it. You were one of those guys that flew around a racetrack in everything from a sprint car to a super late model and all points in between. Cool part is you understand it. Now you can take what you've learned and apply it and grow, and help the sport. That's what you're doing. That's cool.
Well, I'm kind of looking at what's going on in our region and stuff, and I can't guarantee that I've done it, but I've changed the landscape of what we got with the double feature stuff, the little more open thinking, a little more as a group, some of the track thinking, and, because I didn't make the rules when I bought the track. After I took over the track, I decided we're going this direction. When was this class had the most cars around locally and in the province? If they're sitting in a barn, let's get them out.
Yeah, good thinking, and a heck of a way of doing it. You know, you touched on those train races, and I can't help but think come Tuesday night, Rick Mercer is going to wrap up his final show. How much you want to bet when he walks away from the mic on Tuesday night on CBC, Rick Mercer will take away a memory from Varney Speedway in a train? I was there that night. Incredible is what that was.
I've heard. I saw the episode. I could imagine. I've been in a set of trains one time. They raised a bunch of money for cancer and said, here, you got to get in a car. And I was like, okay, you raise the money and we'll do it for a good cause and I'll get in. But like I said, if people aren't aware of what's going on, that was more of a risk take than driving a sprint car over a fence.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Hey, that is a random question, but you, as being a racer, you always had lots of different race cars all the way across the board. How often do you get strapped into a race car and get out there and have some fun? Do you ever get out there on like a Tuesday afternoon?
I do not.
You don't at all?
I do not take advantage of my own speedway in any shape or form, nor do my family members. My grandson's 9 years old. He races in the kids' stock class. We don't do anything on track other than practice days. And me personally, I actually had a bad wreck a year and a half ago. I had a throttle stick on a practice day in someone else's Outlaw Midget. So I, tried to tear the wall down in turn four.
Ooh.
And, got a bad concussion, didn't drive a street car or walk for, 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And I didn't think I was going to race again, and I kind of got a little bit of the itch again, but we'll see what direction that takes. But my first and foremost thing is to make sure this speedway and everything that goes on here is the ultimate best product that I can do for the fans and the racers.
Well, it sounds like you got it set up real, real good this year. Excuse me. It's going to be great to get things fired up. Hopefully the snow is gone, Gord,
and
you can get that practice in.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, and I don't know if you guys were aware, we took over a truck show from down the road.
Oh, really?
And, we had one had it last year. It was a terrible weekend. The truck show and the races, we combined them together with a bunch of other stuff. Like this year, we're actually even including wrestling and about 9 bands, so it's over 3 days. And, it's quite the big weekend. I think we had about 3,500 people come through the gate last year, had about 80 transport trucks come to put on a display. It was a good weekend, but the weather did not cooperate with us. So that's growing already. We've done a big job. It's called the Big Truck Show at Varney. Everything we do kind of is at Varney.
And that'll go on May 5th, is it?
No, that's July 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The May 5th is the opener for the regular racing. So, yeah. So yep. We have a big weekend in July. That we do it in the summer. Like a lot of tracks have the playoff season, call it. We decided to do it in the last weekend of July, which is when a lot of people have holidays and more chance for warmer weather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the direction that we took.
Well, we shouldn't have any snow in July.
Oh.
Fingers crossed.
You guys are in the same thing. I'm sitting here going, I got a lot of projects I'm trying to do. And, you know, the weather's we can go racing next week if we want. But it might not be how I want to do it or what the end result would be. But, you know what, we'll still put on a great show.
Hey, I've been at Varney when there is snow on the ground. It was one of the best pre-race shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was actually, we actually raced in that.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That, in 4 years, I was looking back and, you know, I gave away a sprint car, gave away a pace car last year, had a rodeo, had a concert, had tractor pulls, you know, and we've taken lots of stuff and continue to move forward. So we're giving away another pace car again this year. So, and, yeah, so we have all kinds of promotions and, you know, I like to give stuff away and make people happy.
Yeah, you're doing it, Gord. Congratulations on all of it, and thanks so much for your time tonight.
Okay.
I know everybody's going to be excited to get to Full Throttle Motor Speedway this year. Where's the best to point fans to get all kinds of ticket info? Where do they go?
www.fullthrottlemotorspeedway.com.
And send all the complaints or laurels, either or, send them to Gord Bennett, right?
I actually don't get too many complaints here. I'm happy about that.
That's
our complaint box kind of stays pretty empty, and our you know, people. I've had accolades from people from all over the states because people don't realize this area is a huge tourist area.
Yes,
yes, you know? It is.
So we bring a lot of people from a lot of places all across the country, Canada, United States, and overseas. You know, they're bringing people in and they bring them to the races.
Good deal.
We entertain them.
Good deal, and you'll do it again this year. Gord, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you guys.
You bet. Gord Bennett, Full Throttle Motor Speedway. Sounds like he's got her happening again this year, Joe.
Absolutely. Cool show, and it's good to see that the truck show, obviously that used to be the Fergus Truck Show.
Right, right,
you know,
yeah.
Big event for a lot of years, and just up the road just a little bit to Varney now, and what a great facility for that. It's a lot more... You know, it's a lot more condensed, and it's a perfect area for it. Just a cool racetrack, all in all. That racetrack there is one of the most complex racetracks in Ontario for sure, if not in Canada. Just a really tough place to get around. A bullring is the name of the game.
33 degree banking. The only place you're going to see that is at Daytona.
Absolutely. Yeah, you need. You definitely need some kahunas to get through there.
You sure do. We are coming up on the top of the hour. Got to throw it back to everybody at SiriusXM, and that's going to do it pretty well for Junior and I here tonight in the studio. I want to let you know, next week on the program, Gary Elliott, the Iron Man, is going to join us. We'll also catch up with Steve Halpin. He's a Pro Stock Tour driver, and I know we'll have a stellar lineup for you again next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. But that's going to do it for us here tonight. Got to thank Susie in the Racetime Radio studio and obviously everyone back at SiriusXM for patching us in and getting us going. But that's going to do it for us. You have a safe week and we'll meet you back here next Sunday night right here live on Racetime Radio. Oh, and don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Check us out in the iTunes store. That's it. Have a good week, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.